Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
It's time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. Get a gun.
Welcome to Slamfire Radio, episode 552. Today is April 24th, 2024, and I am one of your hosts, Kyle.
I'm another one of your hosts, Kelly.
And I'm Adriel.
Yay. Whee!
Good evening, all right, gang.
Well, where's Dave?
I don't know.
I thought he'd be here for me.
I think he's getting on a podcast with Trudeau. Trudeau's doing the podcasting circuit right now.
Oh.
Hey, do you remember when $1.50 and we were losing our minds at the pump? Do you remember that? This is about maybe 2 years ago.
For what now?
Gas. Regular.
Oh.
Yeah, $1.50 a liter. And we were going, oh my God, the sky is falling. Now it's
$1. I like that.
Now it's $1.75. $1.50 would be like, woohoo.
Kyle and I both like that. That's good for both of us.
Stop it.
It's very good for both of us.
Should I say what I'm paying for gas?
No. No, you shall not. Because people don't really like the fact that you can shoot ARs. But if you tell them how much you pay for gas, they're really going to hate you.
Yeah, it's in gallons anyways. Who cares?
Yeah.
That number doesn't mean anything to us.
It's a different currency. It's in gallons.
So. Yeah. Hogs to the lion's head, or I don't know.
What?
Let's get into what we did in guns. And Adriel, why don't you kick us off?
Yeah, why not? What did I do? I did a PAL course. Yeah, that's what I did. Did a PAL course on Saturday. I got another one of those. Not on the 20th. I'm thinking, no. May sometime.
Is it May?
A couple of private classes coming in too. A couple of people asking about those. Might be doing one at a church. That'll be kind of neat. Which is actually pretty ideal. Churches are pretty ideal for that kind of thing. They got great AV. So like, got a projector? Yeah, they got their projector game sorted out. You got seating? Yeah, they got seating tables. All of it. All right. Separate rooms for testing. And they got it all. Pews for praying. If your test, went well or not, but
dear God,
it's all there. Yeah.
Please support me as I go through my practical. Thank you.
Yeah. Which gun would Jesus have had?
I don't. All of them.
Only one answer.
All guns.
A nail gun.
Oh, stop it!
Oh, come on now.
That's gonna get us an email.
I had to put the bag. Oh, sorry, guys. That will get us an email. the Sig Romeo 5X, it's on my rifle. It's right here. Let's talk about gun stuff. So Sig's got a Romeo 5. It comes with a high mount or not a high mount. Cabela's has the high mount versions of high mount only on for sale every once in a while for around $200. And I noticed they had the 5X on sale. I'm like, what's the difference between the 5 and the 5X? Well, the 5X uses a AAA in the base of it, so you can only get it with the high base, and it's got a AAA instead of the 2032.
You know what else it is?
What's that?
There's an X on it.
There is an X. It's one X better. It's 5X. It's five times.
So isn't it?
So is it magnified? No, it's a 5X, but it's not magnified.
I was just gonna say,
but it's not magnified. It's just a 1X, but it's 5X.
So 1X, 5X, or a 5X, 1X.
5X.
Mm-hmm. 5X is actually half.
So shake awake on it. It's very small. See, it's basically like practically the same size as a receiver. And therefore, it should be pretty quick to just pull up and use. And I don't have to think about it. And that's what I like, because I don't like thinking when I'm shooting. I just like to make loud noises with the gun and focus on my stage plan or whatever I'm doing. So it's got a little dinky rubber bikini cover that I'm going to lose immediately. But I'll put it on there for now just to pretend like it's going to stay on there. And maybe for the review. And that's about it. So that guy put on. I'm trying to think if I should get a scabbard or like a gun boot for the motorbike. So I can take rifles.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Give scabbard.
Scabbard, like a leather scabbard? Yes. Along the side, like it's a horse?
Yeah. You need two, one for each side.
I wouldn't mind having it up front so you could, like, you're not going to, but you could pull it out as you're riding along, like a bunch of buffalo near Elk Island Park or something like that. You just pull your lever action out of there and just lay waste to the whole herd, right? Isn't that should be in my blood? I don't know. Anyways, yeah, I'm looking for one of those for my motorbike. And then a buddy of mine just came by today and loaned me this for review. This is for the audio listeners, an FN-49 in 8mm Mauser. It's a semi-automatic, something like an SKS or an SVT or something like that. I don't know. I haven't broken it down to take a look inside. And Wikipedia was not very helpful in determining what kind of action. It said short recoil. Thanks, Wikipedia. I can figure that part out all on my own. But I need, like, what's the guts of this thing operate on? So I'm going to get there. I'm going to get there and see what we got going on the inside of this thing. Maybe Dave knows. Dave, do you know the inside of an FN-49? Is that closer to an SKS, SVT? What is it tilting bolt on this thing? It looks like
you know what? I used to have one. I think it was fairly close to an SKS, but that was 35 years ago. So
it looks like a tilting bolt. Looks like a tilting bolt. And if you look at like the bolt carrier like combination there, it looks very SKS, SVT-ish.
FN. I've heard that they're close to an FN as well, but I never, when I had an FN, I didn't have my FN and that thing at the same time to compare them.
Okay.
Cool gun though.
Oh, anyways. A lot of fun. And review it. Yeah. Yeah, I think I am.
Yep.
Got some 8mm Mauser for that thing. And it should be pretty good. Got a 3-gun meeting tonight. I got the reminder in the show notes so I don't forget about it because that's going to be for the match that's on May 4th. This weekend is the first Maple Seed of the year for me. I know it'll be a doubleheader. So I was just setting up my range bag. Setting up my range bag for it. I got my ears, eyes. I got my little measuring stick thing that magnifies the hole and sees whether someone has broken the line or not. I got some sunblock in there because, yeah, I will burn in April. I'm that white. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what else I have to store in there. I haven't checked my checklist yet, and I'm going to do that so I don't forget anything. But the nice part is that another shoot boss will be bringing all the maple seed stuff. I'm going to bring all the barbecue stuff for the IT dinner afterwards just to make it nice and easy. Yeah. Tom's going to bring everything. So I just need to bring, I'll bring some maple seed rifles because I've got them all on the rack over there and some mats and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, should be good.
A little bit lighter this time.
Yeah. A little bit lighter this time. I'll get my tent trailer out there and
nice.
Enjoy. Yeah. Take the whole weekend.
Yeah.
And then, the weekend after that, I have a Chaz 3-gun match. And the weekend after that, I have something else. And the weekend after, and then the next time I have a weekend without anything so far.
Christmas?
It's late June.
Really?
But I late June. There's only one. And it will get filled with something. I'm getting people like right now messaging me about like private PAL courses and that kind of thing. So maybe one of those. Maybe a match. There's certainly a lot of those. Oh, I think the Thursday night fun shoots are starting this week, too. And if they are, I might be going to one of those tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So that might be something that I didn't think about that I will be doing coming up here is doing one of those. That's about it for me. What about you, Kelly?
So I spent my weekend down in the U.S. and we were doing a Patriot Day shoot. So for the first time in forever in 2 days, technically, probably about 4, maybe 5 years, Project Appleseed is once again allowing Canadians to come down and shoot. So,
yay!
Yeah, right? So a Canadian contingent went down. Random Dave was there. Myself, Brian Bolivar, for those that are listeners and know Brian. Excuse me. We all went down and we shot Appleseed, which is a 2-day event instead Project Mapleseed, we do one-day events, but Project Appleseed does two-day events. This date is very significant. It's Patriots Day. It signifies the Revolutionary War at this time that it started. So, excuse me. So the two-day event is peppered with history. And then also you actually get to shoot a little bit as well. So I was lucky enough to be able to qualify for my rifleman patch. I did collect, yeah, thank you. I did collect one of the, I don't know if you can see it. Look at that. I have my,
no, 'cause you're back.
There you go. So I have my, olive drab, patch. My previous patch to this, I qualified down there. It was for a winter seed. So my previous rifleman patch was nice and blue with icicles. So I said,
what do they consider a maple or a winter seed down there?
Anything freezing. So technically, excuse me, this past weekend was 32 degrees. It was not considered a winter seed, even though we saw snow. It has to be below freezing. And yeah.
So you missed it one by 1 degree.
We missed it by 2 degrees. It was 34 degrees. So that was the Saturday. Sunday was much better, more better. And the reason that it was much better is because it was sunny and it was another 10 degrees on top of it. One of the cool things was, so I'm currently transitioning between offices at work, going from one institution to the next. So I had everything in my car, and I do mean several boxes of office stuff in there. Was a Keurig. So we had coffee on the go. We had hot coffee, which was quite the blessing on the Saturday when it was freezing.
Amazing.
And yeah, so we set up coffee. I had chocolates for everyone.
Kelly saved us all.
That's yeah. Cool. I had my emergency Snuggie. People were wearing that, as well as wearing socks for gloves because it was freezing. I was totally unprepared for the event. I initially didn't think that I was going to shoot because my Form 6 didn't come in time. Excuse me. And I'm coughing because of the Saturday where it was nice and damp and overcast, and I have a cough again.
Stop coughing, Kelly.
I know, right? Dave was yelling at me on the line, stop coughing! But sorry. Initially, I thought I wasn't going to shoot. I was just actually going to be an observer. But our host, Stacy and Bill, they came out and they helped facilitate rifles, ear protection, ammo, everything that I needed, mats. And then the next day, one of the line bosses. Yeah. Well, excuse me. Oh, sorry. So the rifle that I had was a little bit long for me. It was built for somebody who was 6 foot or above, and I'm not quite 6 feet. So one of the line bosses, he had a rifle that was pretty much like my rifle. So he offered to bring it, and I said, thank you very much. And I was able to shoot it. And good little rifle. We got some, excuse me, we got some really cool swag. This year, there's a special patch. It's the Patriots Day. Remember, your heritage is your rebellion, and it's Prudence Wright. That's the actual patch there.
As well. And we got to hear the story about her, which was cool. She's right. A badass.
She is a badass. She was a mom. She was a patriot. She actually a colonist as well, but she decided to enlist, and women couldn't enlist back then, but she decided to go enlist and protect her heritage, protect her rights. So yeah, that's pretty awesome. There's some, we're us Canadians down there, we're kind of looking at each other. Should we actually shoot a volley at the Redcoats and just, you know, and we're going, well, we get an opportunity to shoot. So why the hell not? So we decided that.
I did remember every time they said they were up invading Canada. Boo. And then, but it was the French. And I'm like, yay.
We would be in the background just we would be the peanut gallery. So it's lots of fun. I wanted to thank Stacey Wilson, Bill Wilson for hosting us. Also her mom. So Kathy Skelding and Larry Skelding, we had Taco Thursday. So they opened up their house. It was amazeballs. And yeah, we got to meet some of the people that or got to actually spend time, not me, got to spend time with some of the most amazing people, people that we really love, people who are part of our tribe, people who don't judge us, and people who, yeah, you know, I'm really, really thankful for going. One of the observations I did have was doing so much instruction and not shooting, my skills have deteriorated. So it was good to actually be able to score riflemen. Not quite the score that I'm used to, but I'm happy with what happened. And it just gives me a reminder of the fact that shooting is fun and I really need to do it. So I'm going to put more into practice. So it was a good reminder. So that's me. What about you, Dave? Do you want to talk more about actually?
I think you covered almost everything. I got rifleman as well. It was pretty good. We shot a ton of qualifiers on Sunday. Like shot 6 qualifiers or 7. That was a lot. Just shot qualifiers all day among the history. So the history lessons were cool because I know a little bit about, I like history. I like knowing stuff. And I know a little bit about the Revolutionary War, but not a lot about specific battles and people that were involved. So the longer history lessons were very cool, where somebody would actually sit there when we were having lunch and it was story time for like half an hour. And they just told the story of a battle. It was very cool. And then Sunday they talked about some of the individuals that were involved in what they did, including Prudence, who was badass.
Right.
And it was great. Shot some awesome guns Friday night. Shot an AUG.
Oh, we forgot about that, right?
Yeah. Shot an AUG. Shot a binary trigger AR-15.
Yeah. That was cool. Fun.
Pull the trigger, bang. Let go of the trigger, bang. Very cool.
Did the AUG have the original AUG scope on it?
No, I didn't know. No, it was an American manufacturer.
Here, I'm gonna. So it was the same AUG that I have pictures of. So it was fun. We got a to shoot the scar that suppressed as well. And as Cracky says, we were able to better trigger AR. So it was lots and lots of fun on the Friday. It was amazeballs.
Yeah, it was. It's been a while since I've shot. I haven't shot a suppressed rifle in a really, really long time. So it was cool. Still sounds like a gunshot, but a 308 suppressed is like 223 ish, maybe a little less.
Yeah.
So it's pretty quiet for what it is. So they
said, let's go and shoot some fun guns at the range on the Friday. We said, okay. And they're going, okay, now we have to set up for Appleseed. We're going, okay.
It's a trap. But that's okay.
Bought a lot of really fun guns, things that we are not able to shoot currently right now. So,
yep, some we haven't been able to own since the 90s. So, very cool.
Very true.
Yeah. And then, I qualified rifleman on Sunday. 221, not great, but I wasn't shooting my best. I know it's been I haven't fired. I fired that rifle last in November, and I think that's the last time I shot anything. So it's been a while. I got to put in the work to get a higher score. I know that, but I qualified. So I got the purple rifleman badge because purple. And Brian Bolivar basically just shot rifleman all weekend. It was ridiculous, and I hate his face, but he's an excellent shooter. And he actually shot with a rolling block, single shot. The hell do you say it was built? It was built in the 20s, so the thing's like 95 years old. And he almost shot rifleman with that. He got 201. It's a single shot.
Yeah. He was shooting it after just for S&Gs.
Yeah. I think he got bored of just shooting riflemen consistently. So he got ridiculous. His distinguished rifleman.
Yeah.
And then he did that and we're on our way. He and I traveled there together in his awesome little sports car, which was a lot of fun. And I think he's gonna bring that out and shoot a maple seed with it and see if he can qualify. If he shoots it a little bit more, I bet you can qualify with it. And that was it. My back hurts today because I spent a lot of time getting in and out of different positions, which I am not used to. So that also proves to me that other than shooting more, I need to get my fat ass out of the house and go run and do yoga and bike and stuff. So I am not so fat and useless. And it was a really good weekend. It was amazing. And it was good to meet Bill. Hadn't met Bill before. So the two of us had a remarkably similar childhood. Like creepy similar. So we get along very well, and he's an IT guy too, so we nerded out a little bit chatting. And it's great to see Stacy again and meet Autumn and meet Sasha, their dog. It was great.
Yes. So
best weekend I've had in a long time. It was fantastic.
I'm really glad that you were able to make that.
I'm really glad that I was able to make it and that you were there too, Kelly, because it's been too long. So.
I know.
Yeah.
So the moral of the story is if Canadians are interested in going down and shooting an apple seed, go do it.
Yeah. It was a great weekend. It was fantabulous. I would 100% do it again. Yeah. Who's that, Cal?
Yes.
What are you up to?
So I spent the weekend at Texas Three Gun Championship.
Ooh.
And it's a first time shooting that match. And yeah, it was a fun match. My performance, well, I struggled all weekend. I really couldn't string anything together except for one, maybe, well, I'm going to say one stage. Second stage, I think, was just sheer dumb luck. But yeah, so struggled all weekend. I'll just start off with day one. Day one, I had shotgun issues. And yeah, auto lifter. So that didn't help. Long range pistol, 30 yards.
I thought you fixed that. It's not fixed?
Oh, it was fixed. I ran local match with it, ran flawless. And I get to Texas and it decided it didn't want to work anymore.
Time to take it out.
And I did just that Friday afternoon. Mm-hmm. I completely rebuilt my shotgun. Well, not completely. I rebuilt my trigger pack on Friday afternoon. But long range pistol, so like they had pistol shots out to, I'm going to say 30 yards, maybe a little bit beyond. I just struggled, couldn't do it. And long range rifle. I struggled with a long range rifle, although so Friday ended up being our long range day. That was when we were shooting out past 400. And then we had the long range stage, which had, what was it? It was 8 knockdown steel. 2 of them were on a swinger and a popper as an activator at 70 yards, which was rifle. Like this was all just rifle stage. And then, they had targets going 436 yards, 470, 540, and 640 yards out. So there's 8 long range steel plus all the, closer stuff. I ended up hitting them all. So I was happy with that. Got a little redemption from Superstition, but I ended up going to war. It took me way too long. My time was 177 seconds and the timeout's 180. And it was the last round of my 40. I zoned out. Didn't think I was going to war that bad, but yeah, I was. But that's one that was just sheer dumb luck because I ended up getting a 9th place finish in my division on that stage just because I hit all the targets. So
good. So sometimes accuracy matters, right?
So yeah, sometimes. And it was crazy. Like there was where we were standing, there was no wind, but it was really nice because they had a spotting scope. So you could watch the trace and see where everyone else was shooting. And you could see, oh, well, the wind's pushing it left. Okay. So I got hold right. And I ended up holding 6 mil. 6 mil wind and 6 mil. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. So it's like 640 yards. That was like almost 24 inches. And so, yeah, my reticle's way up here and then the target's here. So, but got them all. And nice. So that actually rounded off day one, and I went up to the Briley booth, asked if they had a lifter. I didn't care if it was a factory lifter or what. They happened to have a TTI lifter, and I bought a new trigger guard off them at the same time, because, yeah. So after day one, I put the A&S metal trigger guard on and rebuilt my whole trigger pack. Just got a standard extended lifter now, and it ran. The shotgun itself ran great the rest of the weekend. And I got different chokes too. I got a 3-pack of chokes from Briley while I was there. And real interesting, they really spread the gas, because with my factory chokes, I don't get this this much discoloration on my tube. So the Briley chokes are probably about twice as long as the factory chokes. And so yeah, right now I got diffused, IC, and the mod. And I'm probably gonna end up buying a few more just to fill out the pack. But yeah, I'll end up, when I'm doing my barrel tests and that, I'm gonna do choke tests too and see that if going with the longer choke, going with the Briley chokes, makes a difference versus the factory chokes. Day two, we were on more, well, closer stages. And so it started off the day, it was a 3-gun stage, shotgun, rifle, pistol. The shotgun was just a nice lateral movement array, double helix, 6 knockdown steel, and a Texas Star. Real simple, real fun, easy way to make it fast. Had 8 rifle targets ranging from, I'm going to say, about 70 to 100 yards with support. So that was not bad at all. And then 3 rifle paper. And then the rest, all the pistol, was pretty much like a gully run, all paper, nice and close, so you could basically just run right to the end. And then you finished off on 2 steel plates. One was probably, I want to say, like 20 yards, and then the other one was like 30, 40 yards. Well, I got too excited on the shotgun part, and I was first time with that, I'm not going to blame the trigger guard, but it was the first time with that trigger guard, and I was just dropping quads. It was not good. Like fumbling them. And yeah, so I walked away not good on that, not happy. Then we had a 2-bay style stage, which was my best stage of the match. It was like a shoot house style with the rifle and then some nice shotgun. And I ended up getting 3rd in tactical on that stage. And cool. Yeah, already looking to see how I can shave off some time. But I think I'm going into a little bit too much detail considering what we're talking about later on. But yeah, basically the story was my long range was struggling. I was able to pick up my shotgun a little bit for one stage, because we had all shotgun stage and just lazy shouldering and problems with longer range pistol. So yeah, did not place anywhere near where I wanted or perform anywhere near I wanted. But a couple things. I've been using this for the last couple matches. I got the idea at Superstition. It's just like a little playbook and putting your long range stuff on there. So like there's the stage one, I put the yardage and then where my hold is on that. Like we had zero wind where we're at, so I wasn't able to put the wind hold, but I got my elevation holds there and actually found it pretty handy. Even just the fact of writing it down really helped remind, and you could be at the start of the stage, look at your wrist, and oh, there we go.
Yeah, so that's what they use in a lot of PRS guys use those.
Yeah, so I think it's handy, and I'll definitely be keeping it in my bag for 3-gun. Talk a little bit about it. I know I mentioned on the show that I've been running a new optic here, and I'm not ready to say my final thoughts on it. I figure I'll talk about it a little bit. So I've been running the Apex Edge. Buddy Craig had bought one and let me put it on my rifle and use it. So I ran this scope at Superstition and at this match. And I can say pretty confidently that if it wasn't for this scope, I wouldn't have hit those long range targets at this match. Because with my VX6, I don't have the wind holds that this reticle has, so I wouldn't have been able to accurately hold it for my skill level. Other people could have, probably, but my skill level, I don't think so. This scope really, really helped me out with that.
I don't think I've done a 6 MOA hold before. I don't even know where to put it for a 6 MOA hold. That's crazy.
Well, I had to look afterwards, because I was just basically on their Christmas tree. I was holding max wind.
And I actually had to go look it up afterwards to see exactly what their wind hold was. And yeah, they say 6 mil wind hold. So,
wow.
6 mil? 6 MOA?
6 mil.
Wow.
So yeah, overall, I am pretty happy with the scope. And like I said, the reticle in there, I don't think I would have hit those targets if it weren't for that. So. So yeah, overall, yeah, it was a good match. I ended up pulling a Luth AR MBA 3 stock off the table. So
pretty good. I'm gonna
throw that on an AR 10 once I get my lower, because I have an upper sitting here that really needs a lower to go to.
Was this one of those matches where your match fee is well covered by the prizes that they were giving away?
I would say, yeah, we'll get into that a little bit more later on.
Mm-hmm.
But that was basically it for Texas for now. We're going to cover that in the main topic with match recon and go through all the stages. But I did, well, Briley was there, so I did bring a 28-inch barrel to give to them. So I sent off one of my barrels to get machined for their rear sight. And then they machine the vent rib, and they have their own front sight as well. So I'm getting them to do that, as well as lengthening the forcing cone in the end of the chamber. So that is with Briley right now, getting all that work done to it. So I think that 28 inch.
Why would you look at lengthening the forcing cone?
So lengthening the forcing cone, for one, is supposed to. It's supposed to make it less felt recoil, because from where your hull sits, it tapers to your cylinder. Think of it like the shoulder on a rifle case.
Yeah.
And from factory there, it's fairly sharp. Like it goes to cylinder bore in about half an inch. And then when they lengthen it, that takes that taper to about 2 inches to get to cylinder bore. And with the lighter lighter felt recoil, there's a thought that it helps more consistent patterning, because it's not forcing the pellets down as much. But yeah, we'll see how it is once it gets back. I had my barrel there and we were doing up the invoice. So I'm like, oh, wait a minute, you guys do the force cone. So yeah, let's throw that on there too while you guys have it.
Now, did you do any benchmarking before you sent it off? Did you?
No, because I didn't think of it until I was sitting in their trailer at Texas. So,
gotcha.
So, unfortunately, the closest I got, because Craig sent his 28-inch barrel off for the exact same work at the same time. So, both 28-inch barrels that will be in my house will have all the same work done to it. So, the closest I could do is with stuff I have here is a 26-inch barrel.
I just claim that you get tighter groups because you spent money on it. So definitely tighter, longer ranges, less recoil.
Don't benchmark it. You don't want to know.
Yeah. Yeah. Another thing I pulled off the table was a Briley gift certificate for their match trigger. So with their match trigger, you got to send trigger guard away, and it's all hand filed and hand fitted to your trigger guard. That's not just replacement parts. So probably after He-Man, I'll send my trigger guard or my trigger assembly off to them to get that done, because that's free match trigger. So yeah, shotgun's getting quite a few upgrades this year, it seems. I also ordered some new Ear Pro, because, well, it was on sale. We're sitting there at dinner one night and Craig asked me if he could spend $150 of my money and told me why. And so I got the Axel X cores. So they're
nice
in ear without the wire in between them. Those should be here, I hope, by the end of the week, because they paid for like 3 days shipping. So
very cool. Bolivar's running a set of those axles. His have the cord though, but he really likes them.
Yeah, I have the cord ones and I like those. I love them. But the cord can be annoying at times. And so when they were 50% off, I was like, yeah, okay.
Hells yeah.
You know, $150 is easier to swallow than $300. So, and then I have Roswell this weekend. Me and buddy are going to take Gage and we're going to drive up to Roswell. They have a 8-stage 4-classifier pistol match going on. So should be a fun day. And yeah, that's basically it for now.
Cool.
And
sounds like a busy week.
It was. It was a good week. It was a good week. Frustrating at times. That's, you know, definitely frustrating. But yeah, I just got lots of work to do. I feel like I'm on the edge of something. I just have to figure out what that is and how to make that something happen.
Almost so, there. I can taste it.
Yeah. We get into upcoming events. And Adriel, do you want to go through the three gun
stuff? Yeah, you bet. I've got these all on 3gun.ca, but multi-gun series in Guelph, May 3rd. Chaz 3gun in Edmonton, May 4th. Sherwood Park Fish and Game in Edmonton, May 11th. Mighty Peace in Peace River, May 11th. NR3G Spring Tune-Up, May 11th. Chaz 3gun in Edmonton, June 1st. Multi-gun series at Guelph, June 7th. CDTSA Milo, that's in Calgary, June 9th. SPFGA multi-gun team match, June 15th. Mighty Peace is on June 22nd. And that Niagara will be also be running another event on, I already got that one. May 11th.
Yep. You have to get down to one of those Guelph events. I shot them in 2019. They were a blast.
Yep, there's lots of them. Yep. Do you want me to do the Maple Seed ones too?
If you got them up, sure.
I do. We just got through a bunch of BC ones. Sherwood Park, we're doing this weekend, April 27th and 28th. I think one of those still has spots open, maybe the Sunday. So still have spots available for that. Lone Butte in BC on April 28th. Edmonton Chaz will be May 11th. Lone Butte on May 26th. And I think, yeah, that's 30 days.
Okay. It's not on here, but I'm going to mention it in case I don't. Well, so that I don't forget that rifle match at BTSA this weekend, they had some spots open up for their USPSA / IPSC style rifle PCC match. So it's on practice score. And I think he's going to close it tomorrow night. So Thursday night, it will be closed. We got Hunting Gear Guy firearms training PAL spots available for May 12th. Or ORA CQC on May 4th. There's a precision rifle May 5th at CFB Borden. And then the CCFR AGM happening May 25th in Calgary. You can find the details and purchase tickets at ccfragm.ca. And we'll get on to the news.
I put a bunch in this week, but there was more news this week.
Yeah.
There's lots more news this week. This first one here, chronic wasting disease, death of two hunters in the U.S. raises fear of zombie deer. But only maybe, because then there was a counter argument on the media that was saying like, yeah, this was a report, but the report was like, oh, these two guys who do this activity, eating CWD deer, happen to get this disease. We don't really know if they're connected, but that's it. So like that should be like the start of the study, not the conclusion. And? But that USA Today one
makes for a better headline, though.
Yeah,
it does, because you have to make the connection. Ooh, there's a death of these two people. It's raising fears. It's not like experts say these two things are connected. It's maybe they are. The experts are going to look into it, but we don't know.
Yep.
So if you've seen that around, just be aware that the jury is not out about whether or not that was even connected or not. Do we talk about the next one?
Canada Post is refusing to collect guns for the buyback. And it's interesting little headline there.
That was a weird article. They're like, we don't want to get into confrontations with gun owners. I'm thinking, people that are dropping their guns off in boxes are going to show up with their guns and threaten people and not turn them in? Like,
no, they might have had the idea that they had to pick them up from people's houses. Hey, I'm here to pick up your AR. The government says you have it. I'm here to get it.
Yeah.
But this was, they said this 2 years ago. 2 years ago, they said that they weren't going to do this.
No. Yeah.
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 Did you guys see this, the CCFR article on this?
Yeah.
No, I did not know.
So I'm just going to pull it up now, but the CCFR was saying that, hey, the CBC announced this, and then Pauly immediately had this like really in-depth breakdown of this thing, like same day.
Hmm.
And that here, let me just share my screen.
But wasn't it copy and paste from like two or three years ago?
Yeah, the issue was, but then, yeah. So in any case, like the CCFR has this breakdown of, this very coincidental reporting that the CBC is making, which like we're trying to say this is not a really big conspiracy. Like the CBC does work with Pauly and get their comments on a lot of things.
Yes.
Just like they get comments from Doctors for Protections from Guns or whatever their name is there. Like several of those people get quoted semi often with CBC. Like they're not strangers to each other. So this colluding thing is entirely possible. This is not like tinfoil hat stuff. This is like, yeah, maybe they did that.
Yeah. That wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. Because 2 years later, this thing was a thing. And then a liberal candidate leaked a letter from Canada Post declining to help them with confiscations because they already said that. And then CBC started rolling some stuff out. And then they immediately got Pauly on the line to talk about how outraged they were and how, you know, Canada Post is a government corp that should just take the guns because we tell them to. And then Pauly also put out this press release that was very fast and was very in-depth about this whole thing. 23rd?
And then the fact that Pauly is like, gun owners are a threat. They're horrible people. And then they're like, nah, they're cool to drop their assault weapons and other prohibited guns off at Canada Post. It's all good. No problem.
Yeah.
But then aren't we walking around on the streets with them? Which you warned people about.
Exactly. Yeah.
Hilarity. Hilarity and sense.
Yeah. So I would put this as very plausible. What Tracy's written about here.
All right.
All right. What do we got here? Replica and ghost gun.
Yeah, go ahead.
Replica and ghost guns, a danger to both bearer and target, Edmonton police say.
But really what they're saying is like, if you knock over a gas station with an airsoft gun, you might get shot by the cops. It's like, no shit. That was the case before, right?
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah.
There's pretty severe consequences. Yeah, the cops might shoot you. That's entirely possible. Or you know, the store owner might like beat your head in with a baseball bat. Yeah, that's also possible, right? It's, you know, robbing people with something looks like a gun. You're robbing with a gun.
Yeah.
Here's hoping those bad things happen to all those people doing that sort of thing. I hope you meet a horrible fate as you've deserved it.
Yeah. Canadian military to destroy 11,000 Second World War era pistols. So they're finally rolling out the high powers that they've just been robbing parts from other pistols to fix other pistols and finally getting their new stuff.
Now, the story I heard from some CAF members is that they would find magazines that worked really well. And those were like, no, those don't. And then when they were like going somewhere, they like bring along a bunch that were still packed in the grease from World War II. And they crack them out, clean them off, and use those because they weren't worn out. They're like basically new old stock, right?
Yeah.
Well, as long as they had good mags. The ones I've seen are from the 40s. So, I mean, it's nice after that you can use your great granddad's gun. I mean, that's pretty cool, but maybe not in combat so much. They're very happy that they're getting the guys I've talked to are very happy they're getting their P320s. So.
Yeah.
I'd imagine it's just lighter too, right?
It's so much better, a pistol. Browning.
It was good back then.
Yeah, they were a great design in the 1930s and 40s. I mean, great design, but, you know, things have advanced in 85 years, shockingly enough.
So,
massive, massive difference. Much more effective, lighter, interchangeable parts. You don't have to machine anything to get it to fix the other handgun. You just grab a part and stick it on and it works. I mean, there's just so much to them. Oh, and they work. That's a good thing too.
Yeah.
So this last one I added in because, well, that was kind of interesting. Minnesota DNR, so Department of Natural Resources, basically their fish co-ops, has some unique methods to remove illegal deer stands. And so they found a couple illegal deer stands and they decided to blow them up with dynamite.
I mean, it's not that it doesn't work.
Yeah.
It's probably a lot more fun than taking it apart with hammers or dragging them away. So, yeah,
they want to send a message.
Yeah. Yeah.
Next time it'll be when you're in it.
Yeah. But they didn't clean up the remnants or anything. They left the deck cord sitting out there. It was.
Of course they did.
I love it.
It was very, very entertaining to hear about.
Why would you clean it up? Then they might not know what went on. Where did our stand go? It was just on a tree that used to be here. Nah, you have to leave the debris strewn. They have to know what went down.
Yeah. Start horse's head next to the dead cord.
Yeah.
But I'm surprised they left the debt cord behind, actually. They probably should be taking that stuff with them. But hey, free debt cord. And your shitty old deer stand got blown up. Whatever. Build a new one.
Yeah.
Right next to the old one.
Yeah. Out of the parts of the old one.
And then put a trail cam, just because that'd be awesome to see. Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe leave a can of gasoline up in it just for fun, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was entertaining, and
that is.
I'd like to know when they're doing that next, because I'd like to go watch. But we'll get into new gun stuff. New gun stuff is brought to you by Bullseye North. Need a new boomstick? Bullseye North is Canada's shooting superstore and a proud supporter of the CCFR, with a wide selection of guns and top trending gear for any shooter. They have free shipping over $250, and some exclusions do apply, like where you live. And now they have $17 flat rate shipping for orders below $250. You can also subscribe to their weekly newsletter for the latest deals.
Okay, they've got the SIG P320 Max Exchange Conversion Kit with Romeo 3 Max. You just need the FCU, which is that serialized part, like that's the chassis of it.
Cool.
So I guess you could take like a regular P320 and upgrade it to the like baddest ass version of the P320 with a red dot on it. Mm-hmm. 5-inch match grade bull barrel, full size Legion magazines, 4 of them. I guess there's one in the gun. Skeletonized flat trigger, all that stuff. So you just need the FCU. It's going to cost you $21.79. It's not going to be cheap.
No.
But you're going to take your P320 and you're going to upgrade it completely.
Yep.
They still have them in stock. Okay. This is the cheapest bulk ammo I've seen in a while. MagDump has Federal 525 round bulk packs on for $45.64. That's the cheapest I've seen. What is that? What's the calculation come out to? 45.64 divided by 525. That is 8.7 cents around. Yeah. That's the cheapest I've seen. This next one, the Templar side metal. Okay, I'm gonna biggie size this thing. This is off Reddit. Someone was disassembling their Templar, and this metal that where the bolt hold open like the paddle goes.
Yeah,
it's super thin, and it broke on this person.
Oh. Well, that is extremely thin, yes.
It is extremely thin, and it broke on him.
Watch your fingers, buddy.
Yeah, exactly. So, another vote of no confidence on those things. Cabela's has a couple of things on sale. They've got their Wild Wednesday today. One of them is their Target Hit Indicator. $35. It was $39. So it's not a ton off, but they're pretty cheap to start with. This is almost to the point where, you know, your backyard farm range, like you might be able to grab a couple of these and go put them out there. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They stick to the back of the steel and you get the lights when you hit it. It makes it easier to see. So that would be very nice. They also have their shooting mats on sale. And one last thing that I want to show is they have fingerless shooting gloves on sale. If you want to look like a badass from the 90s, you need to have cut off shorts if you're going to wear these at the same time. I think you need like the jorts, right? Cut off jean shorts.
Yeah. Hawaiian shirt, maybe.
Maybe a bandana, like if you like ripped a strip off your shirt or something like that, right around your head here. Yeah. Red. Red is the only acceptable color.
Denim sneakers.
Cool. Denim sneakers? Yeah. Or those ones you pump up. The Reeboks, the little ball.
Oh,
there you
yeah. Up.
Like yeah. Get some, yeah. Yeah, those will help too. Sorry to everyone who enjoys their fingerless gloves. I'm just poking a little bit of fun. Anyways.
Yeah. All right. Well, why don't we get into the main topic? And I thought it would be kind of interesting to try a new thing for us. You know, Three Gun Show used to do this years ago, but we'd start off and see what people think. Do a match recon on Texas Three Gun Championship. So I'm going to break it down on a bunch of different factors like match communication, venue, style of stages, surrounding area, like hotels, food, travel, go over their prize table and overall thoughts, and also answer some questions that may arise. So either if you're looking for ideas for your match, or if you're looking to see, like if you're going to travel for a match, which I do encourage that, give you an idea on what you might be looking to travel to.
Did you log your costs on here too? That was one of the more interesting episodes of the Three Gun Show, is when he talked about costs.
No, I don't want to do that. No.
You don't want to talk about it.
Make sure Crystal's not listening.
Your wife, yeah, if she's right next to you, just wave. Just show some signs of distress. We'll know not to talk about the money.
I got free entry at a truth-telling contest next town over.
Well, one of the things he mentioned was the hotel cost.
Yes.
Like gas and ammo. Yeah, sure.
No, I can talk about I know how much it costs, so I can talk about that for sure.
Okay. Yeah.
Start off the match communication. I think that's important, especially if you're traveling to a match. And overall, it was good. We had good email updates. I think one thing I was disappointed in, they gave you a map of the area, which showed where the stages were. And then, but they just had a line going off the map saying your check-in venue. Well, there was a lot of stuff before that on the road when you're driving. So it wasn't well-defined unless you had been there before where the check-in was and where the lunches and that were going to be held at the same place. We asked one person, got down there, and then the rest of the time was very easy to find our way around the ranch. So that was really the one hiccup, I would say, with the communication, but the rest of it on times where you need to be, you know, the schedule was put out.
Well, that
matchbook was put out like the Thursday night or Thursday of the match, like just before the match. So it was a little delayed getting the matchbook out, but overall it was good communication. The venue, well, Reveille Peak Ranch is an amazing facility. It's 1,300 acres in the hill in Texas Hill Country. And they can do basically everything. I know what they did a video breakdown of one of the stages, and he happened to say it's one of their favorite spots because it's behind the RPG berm. So get to do some pretty cool stuff there. And like they do Spartan races. They do everything there. And yeah, the venue was really cool. They have bays and a ton of open terrain that they're opening up a bunch of more country there too to do stages. And where they did awards was down by the lake, and that's where your lunches were, which that was a cool thing. They provided food. They provided a lunch every day, including after awards. So that was really good because a lot of big matches down here don't do that. So, and actually I think a lot of stage matches around don't do that. It seems to be more and more rare when you find meals at a match.
Lunch at most. Yeah.
And that's what these were. We had like hamburgers and hot dogs for lunch on Friday, Saturday, and then they did a barbecue lunch on Sunday, so it was brisket and ribs and beans and
nice.
All that. So yeah, and yeah, the venue for the awards was really good. Good sound system, so you can actually hear and understand what's being said. Stylist stages, they are predominantly open terrain. You're going to have to move, and they're difficult. It is just like Rocky Mountain 3 Gun. It's a rifleman's match. You're going to have to know how to shoot distance. And the simplest stuff, they're going to find a way to mess with your head and make it difficult. We walked away after doing stage walkthroughs on Thursday and really thinking, hey, this is actually seems pretty straightforward. And both of us, there was a lot of people who struggled, and yeah, turned out it was a lot more challenging than it looked like when you were just walking through it.
Did you have the Men in Black moment where the RSO is, are you ready? Do you remember the stage layout? Yes. And then he puts up the little flashy thing and goes, boop.
So actually lately, superstition included, I've been really good with that. That's one takeaway is I've been putting together good stage plans. I've been remembering the stage plans. I've just been shooting like crap. And yeah, there have been a couple where I get flustered where I forgot where targets were. This match, I think I remembered where every target was and what I was doing at every moment. I just did not perform well. So, but the Etch-A-Sketch is definitely something. but yeah, so be prepared. And it's rocky. It's not just smooth trails. So there is some uneven terrain.
Okay, so you got to watch your footing. Maybe you're not as fast as you normally would be.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, you mean it's Hill Country, Texas, so you got to watch for snakes and stuff like that. So
if you get bit by a rattlesnake, is that like an equipment malfunction or hazard? Do you get a penalty, or how does that work?
Do you get a penalty for drawing on a snake?
Most of the matches say do not shoot the snakes. Like, don't just get a match organizer, and I guess they'll shoot the snake or something.
They have an official snake gun.
Yeah. It's a snake guy. Yeah. Get the snake guy.
Yep. But so I mean, I'm gonna be posting a video up about it, but expect uneven terrain movement. Tough targets. Like, we had slug targets out to 120 yards. You had pistol targets out to 40. We had rifle targets out to 640. So I guess they do like to mix some bay style. Like, there was one bay stage in there. It was a two bay stage, but one bay style stage. And then the rest was all open terrain. And actually, normally they have a lot longer to set this up, but they had this big festival with like 40,000 people for the eclipse at the ranch. And so they had like a week to set up the match, which they did a phenomenal job. So they were shorter stages this year.
Okay.
The surrounding area. So there's a bunch of hotels in the area. So we stayed at Best Western right in Burnett, Texas. And that we stayed Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So 4 nights. It was like $660. So it wasn't bad. Wasn't bad price. And there's some more expensive stuff, like cottages, whatnot, that were, I think, like $180 a night.
But that was so the 600, like, that's all total, right? So yeah, cut that in half.
That
you guys were.
Yeah, we split it. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
$300. That's probably more than your match fee or than your ammo, right?
No, the match fee on this match was $400 US.
Oh, okay.
Woo.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think you get your value. I do think you
with
get
the
your
price
value.
Table.
Well, even just the shooting, like you get your value. Like, yeah, I was middle of the pack and I got my value from the prize table, but definitely got the value from the prize table, and the match was definitely good. Food. I mean, you got, well, we're still in hotels. You can find good price accommodation within 10 minutes of the range. And Kelly is logging off, and hopefully she doesn't do this again.
I'm going to. Bye. Don't kill the show, Kelly.
All right. Well, we will continue on. So yeah, you can find accommodation, decent accommodation within 10 minutes, because like Burnett's less than 10 minutes away from the range. Food, there's good food all around. So there was one place that's a popular hangout called Bill's Burgers. They have a nice patio. You go sit out, you can get a beer and like handmade burgers, smash burgers. There was Von Brocklin's Bistro, which was very value money or like value meals for what you get. Like that was a cheap meal. I think there was four of us there, and the bill for the entire table and with a couple drinks was like $130.
Ah, decent.
And it was decent food too. So, So definitely some value there. And then we had Templeton's Tavern, which is like right by the entrance to the range, and it's by a place actually called Container City, which is one of the accommodation places that I'm actually going to probably check out for next year. They take sea cans and they made accommodations out of them, like little cabins.
Neat.
Yeah. As far as travel, the range is an hour and 15 minutes from Austin Airport, so not horrible. I mean, we'd like to be closer, but you know, to get to and from, you can fly in the morning and drive to the range, as long as you don't go try and get Franklin Barbecue. And
was there like a light transit to the range, or could you take an Uber? Or no, I'm just messing. An hour is fine.
I would rent a car, Austin, because of the terrain. Like there were cars who made it around, but you have a high risk of ripping off the oil pan. So I would say rent an SUV or a truck, because it is a drive to every stage. Don't bother bringing your cart. It's a drive to every stage.
Okay.
Yep. Prize table. Well, there. Before the show, I was trying to come up with a value of what was sitting on the table. That prize table had to have been at least $50,000.
Wow.
Like, I say Vortex had to have donated like $25,000 of that.
How many competitors were there?
There were like 280 competitors.
Okay. Yeah. So still like a really good chance at pulling something nice off.
Yeah, like I said, I was, so the way they do their prize table, and I've been starting to see it more and more. So it's an order of finish, but it's by your percentage in your division. So they'll go from 100% down to 0%, and the order you get called is the order of your finish. So if it's possible that you, in the overall standings, you finish ahead of a person, but because they finish with a higher percentage in their division, they get called before you.
Huh. They must have some easy way of pulling that, because it sounds like a lot of like jumping back and forth on.
Yeah. Rocky Mountain does the same thing. So there must be an easy way to sort that out. But yeah. So it's, I've been used to it before. And they do have some of the, if you're good enough, they have some of the coolest trophies out there. It's very, very Texas. They give away belt buckles. So they get these belt buckles made up and give them away. But, you know, my overall thoughts, it is a great match. I think it should be one on people's agenda. And it's an awesome venue, and there's good value there just in the match alone, never mind what the prize table is.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. So you're going to go again next year?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's on my list now. So, I mean, my list of matches that I attend, that I make sure I attend, is growing. But yeah, I would definitely attend. But yeah, get prepared for long pistol shots. Get your slugs dialed in and your long rifle shots.
Long pistol's hard. How long was the furthest rifle shot?
640 yards. And like, the weather this time sucked. Like, there was rain and everything. I think we actually ended up having the best time Friday morning, or even Sunday morning was better, but Friday afternoon and Saturday just sucked. They run half-day schedule. So if you shoot Friday morning, you shoot Saturday afternoon. If you shoot Friday afternoon, you shoot Saturday morning. And then everyone shoots on Saturday morning before awards. We did four stages, two stage, which I think would probably be typical for the match. And yeah, any other questions from the match or anything else you think we could cover on that?
No. So fly into Austin.
Yeah.
Drive, rent your car that's got like an SUV or something that you're gonna just absolutely gonna destroy, or a car that you just don't care about the underside on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Expect a few hundred bucks on hotel, 400-ish for 400-ish for the entry, and then how much ammo did you use?
Trying to think. I used I don't know. Well, let's see. I used a 40-round mag on stage one. And I got it on the last round. So mm-hmm. I would come with at least double what they say you need for a round count. Like I went with like 400. I probably used close to the 200, especially with the struggles I had on the long range. For some reason I went with 500 rounds of shotgun. I didn't even use a full flat of shotgun. Pistol. Mm-hmm. There wasn't as much pistol as I was thinking. It was definitely more rifle, but the pistol still used a fair bit. Yeah, I couldn't even ballpark that. But yeah, like they'll tell you ahead of time kind of what to keep an eye out, and I would go with at least double. Because it's a challenging match.
Cool.
Yeah. So. All right. Well, if you have any more questions on that, message the show or whatever, and we'll be doing a stage breakdown, and I'll put together an actual stage to stage video without the breakdown portion, just showing the stages and that at some point here. But we'll get into listener feedback. We got a couple emails here. I'll take this first one. It says, loves the show, guys. Can you give a shout out to us at Arcane Defense? We provide CFSC and CRFC. CRFSC courses, as well as live fire courses for those wishing to learn how to shoot. We are within driving distance of Ottawa and Montreal. Thanks. Eric B. of Arcane Defense. So, there you go. There's your shout out.
Cool.
You want to take
PAL courses? Yeah.
You want to take Tony's?
Sure, from Tony. Good evening, Slamfire Radio. Shortish and last minute. Remember Tony preferring USPSA to IPSC? I take it all back. They just more than doubled the membership cost for 2024, and I can't say I appreciate that. Since I still want to do my Club 13 for Steel Challenge, I'll likely renew for 2024, but maybe not for 2025. Shot my first full-day Steel Challenge for the year. The attendance was not amazing, though we were only able to have one full squad. Feeling more comfortable with the holster draw, I was able to squeeze myself into C-class for carry optics. I'm pretty happy with that, knowing that I still have tons to improve on. And I want to start a discussion on pistol grip angles. Is that something you can train into? Or is there an angle that's most natural for you? Awaiting the answers from the hosts and listeners in the comments section. Good night. Best regards, Tony from Calgary.
Okay.
Is there a pistol angle that's more natural for you?
Well, be whatever it would natural. I don't know if there's a natural grip angle. Like there's what you're used to, but I mean, I'm used to the 2011.
I've shot too much. I can't answer this question anymore because how do I know if it's natural or if it's something I've built up over the last 10 years I've been shooting competitions. Right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't really answer that because, I mean, I could pick up a Glock and shoot it. Like, I can pick up my 2011. I mean,
you might find, so if you're running red dots, you definitely find a different index. Like, you might have to do the fishing hook thing there because you're not quite pulling it down far enough on some guns. I find with Glocks and that kind of thing, they sit a little bit more upright. And when I pull them out, like, they're right on target. Whereas with the 1911, I have to fish them down a little bit. But... Hmm. That might just be because I think it's not pointing in the correct spot. Like it's just something you just can just drill in, I think.
Yeah. Like maybe with the Glock, I've had to drive it down, get used to driving it down a little bit more than like on a 2011 or something like that. But I think I stopped noticing that. It's just sight alignment. You're just moving it to your sight alignment. Like, yeah, if I just picked it up and did it off the bat, yeah, I probably would notice it at that point, but I don't know.
Tony was mentioning that coming from 0% pistol, the 1911 felt the most natural. I think I remember having a 1911 and some other pistols, and I think I believe that the 1911 did feel pretty natural in terms of just like pulling it up and addressing it to the target. But yeah, it's been too long. It's been too long. Now I can't remember. Like natural doesn't mean anything to me anymore.
Yeah. I think out of all of them, the 2011 out of all the guns I've owned, it has, in my mind, had the most comfortable grip and more felt the most natural, I guess, to me. But
the only thing I don't like about a 2011 and 1911 is the safety. My thumb wants to go just a little bit lower than where that is.
Oh, okay.
And it can't, and it has to ride up high. And I'm on my 1911 with it riding up high on there. And if I need to put my thumb up like that, I get this knuckle on the back of my thumb, like driven right into the, I don't know why I have a stapler here instead of a handgun, but the knuckle of my thumb, like the back of it, gets driven into the hump of the pistol, and it's uncomfortable to be firing like that. I don't get good contact there. So I don't like going thumbs high. I like going thumbs a little bit lower, but I can't on the 1911 because it's got that big, bad safety come out the side. But my shadow, like, it would probably give me the same issue. It's just it has a very thin safety. It's got like an IPSC style safety on it, which you're not really supposed to use. So it doesn't get in the way, right?
Yeah, and see, like my 2011, I've gotten used to my thumb riding on that safety and use it almost kind of like a gas pedal.
Yeah, some guys really like the safety for that purpose because you can get your thumbs nice and high up on there.
Mm-hmm.
Help with recoil control.
Yeah.
I'm just not used to it, though.
Yeah. I mean, when it comes down to it, everyone's different. Everyone's going to have something that fits their hand better.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but when you're starting, it doesn't matter because you don't know what fits or what doesn't fit. I see too many people like, I don't like this. I prefer this. Like, you don't know what you're talking about. You're just starting. Pick something cheap, shoot it. And then once you get good, then buy your like forever gun. Don't buy your forever gun as your first one. Buy like something, buy something used, use it, abuse it, sell it for $50 less than you bought it for. And then buy, now that you've got some rounds under the pistol, now you know what you're really looking for and what you really like. Yeah. Otherwise, it's like, you know, buying a car and being like, it has to be the best one for me when you just got your driver's license.
Yeah. Go borrow all the friends' guns. Yeah.
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 It's another thing to do. You need to get a bunch of rounds in. You need to get a bunch of rounds in so that you're like, okay, when I compete, this is the thing I like. Yeah. I don't like the safety. I do like the safety. I want no safety. I want some safety. You know what? Trigger press is really important for me. Trigger press isn't that important for me. I want consistency of a striker fired pistol. Like all these things you'll find you get like stronger opinions about this that are backed up by rounds down range after you get like, you know, a few thousand rounds out.
Yeah.
Or just buy a Shadow 2 and just not, don't worry about it. Tony was saying he was listening to some of my old some of the old episodes where I was like, man, I don't need a Shadow 2. And it's then the tone has changed. Yeah, tone has changed. Russ says, can't buy handguns anymore. I know, I'm speaking hypothetically. Yeah. Now, what you can do is borrow a handgun. So if you know someone who's got handguns, you can borrow for a pretty long time. You can get one of them boring permits and use it for a while. So while you can't buy them, you may be able to borrow them from a friend. You just need to make friends with old people who have lots and lots of guns.
We'll get into the YouTube comments, and they are all from last week's show. A couple from Tony. The match was okay, still fun despite the malfunctions. Since I knew I wasn't racing for a medal, especially not with the iron-sighted pistol, completing the match safely was the top priority. I'm just surprised since the test fire went well and I thought the Glock platform is bomb-proof. Guess nothing is Tony-proof rated. Yeah, Glocks aren't bomb-proof, and that just perfect example of you can sit there and take controlled shots at a range all day long, and then you get something out in competition and it fails.
Every time they make something idiot proof, they make a better idiot.
Yeah.
I'm joking around, Tony. I'm joking.
And then he mentions that the mags used were native 10 rounds from Magpul and Glock, no pins.
Surprising, because that would be a low tension magazine. I found my factory 10s for my Glock are very low tension.
And then we got a few comments from Eddie saying, Kyle, any wild boar hunts near you? And there's supposedly some, but not much right close by. I'd have to go into Texas or someplace. I don't know. But there's not a whole lot of talk about it here. So that's why there was no show last week. Adriel was busy drinking beer with Tony.
We'll use that excuse.
Yeah. Adriel, have you tried some brass polishing compound in your tumbling media? Your brass should come out nice and shiny.
Yes, I did. And it does come out shiny, but tell you what, you put it on a buffing wheel with some rouge in there and that shit comes out like sparkling. There's a marked difference between just shiny and like gleaming.
Yeah.
Still have them here. Look at that. They're so shiny.
Nice.
This is like higher polish than you get from factory, like way higher polish.
Yeah. Yeah.
Looks amazing.
And then our last comment is from Eddie. Says, just got back from the Kamloops show, and there are a lot of modern firearms. Some for PRS, NRL, action shooters, and the tactical crowd. Of course, there were a lot of old cooies, levers, and double barrels as well. Not to forget arts and crafts and baked goods, but those seem to draw in the family members. I did snag some deals like 12-gauge Sibbo rounds at $10 per box of five, and a shooting crony for $35. A friend got a custom wood bullseye box for $50. I would estimate that a third of the crowd was under 40 and that there were many kids with their parents.
Okay. Cool. Yep. It's a different show.
Yep. And that is it for YouTube. Let's see. Instagram, Facebook. Discord. Well, there was some Discord. I did post up stage and then some awesome Franklin barbecue on there over the weekend. Yeah. There's always some kind of conversation going on over there. Do we got stuff for Cabela's?
No, because they canceled it. They just re-enabled it. Okay. Do you know why? Do you know why Rakuten canceled our affiliate network thing with Cabela's?
Oh, let me guess. Guns.
Because we were marketing guns. Don't you know? So Cabela's like, that's weird. And then Cabela's looked into it and they're like, yeah, they did this thing. We told them that we're doing this and they said, yeah, we'll make an exception. So they're gonna remake the exception.
Oh yeah, we advertised guns, so we can't be affiliated with a company that sells guns. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well,
Once in a while we get a squeeze from someplace or another, right? Whether so it's
what
from
about
YouTube
Brownells then?
Facebook. Brownells is fine.
Yeah. Okay.
Brownells is still up there. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, if you would like to support the show, apparently it says sorted out now. You can go to our website and in the left hand column there are links for both Cabela's and Brownells.
I'm gonna re-add the one from Cabela's.
Okay.
I took it down when they pulled
okay.
it, but
so
I'll re-add
it. It will be there. And you can click on that and give us a little kickback. Won't cost you anything more. And yeah. We would also like to thank our supporters on Patreon and Player. You can also go to those and support us there if you would like. And of course, you can always send the show an email at slamfireradio@gmail.com and we will read them on the air. Adriel, you got a shout out?
I got two. One's to you for the 45 degree safety that I'm going to go pick up maybe tomorrow night. I'll see if Craig's available. And the other one, not a shout out, just a recommendation. So the Raven Gen 2 charge, the Gen 1 charging handle had this like spring clip thing. It was lame. I didn't want to buy one and it was expensive. They now have a Gen 2 charging handle. That's kind of like the Radian. Oh, what's their fancy charging handle?
Radian. Yeah.
It's just like that. Yeah. It's got a Talon. Proper claw on it.
Talon.
Yeah, something like that. It's just like that. Yeah. It's got a proper claw on it. It's expensive. Like, you pay that Canadian non-restricted tax, but it's better than the other one. And Gustavo Honzofo, who we had on, who was doing the Raven thing, he's got a review of that as well.
Ooh.
And he was trying to tempt me today to buy one.
But you got the side charge. That's better.
I'm too cheap.
Yeah, the side charge is better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I have a shout out, and of course it's to the organizers and match staff of Texas 3-Gun, and it was short build time, but man, they put down some good stages, and then Squad 8 for just being an awesome crew to shoot with.
Cool.
And with that, we're going to sign off, so go join our Discord, watch us on Facebook, YouTube, and Player, join the CCFR, and we will see you next week.
Later, everyone.
Right.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something.
When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.